morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And thank you so much for visiting us on the web. We've seen record numbers of website traffic as the home searches grow, as the market's been hot. It's just been absolutely fantastic. We love getting your inquiries that way and going through it. Once again, I always like to thank John at the station and everybody here for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Well, the weather, real interesting.
A little bit interesting. Yeah, we had that. That was a lot of rain in a quick period of time. In fact, I think last week, that next morning, I don't always see standing water all the way across Keene Road, but I think there was a drain plugged up. And yeah, you definitely want to watch that for sure. And then we got some sun after that. So yeah, we are definitely into that fall weather. You can feel it being a little bit cooler out there. We talked a little bit last week. We thought it was coming with some of the tips and sprinkler blowouts, but keep an eye on that for sure. On the lending side, keeping an eye on the money for us in the studio, Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. It was a lot of rain, come to think of it. I got those little feeders out for those cows I raise, and the water was all the way up to the brim of those feeders.
Yeah,
it was overnight, and that's like 3 or 4 inches.
It was quick. I mean, it was a lot in a very quick period of time. We definitely had a couple on the property side. We definitely had a couple drips show up with some of the properties and some of the roofs out there. So one of those things to make sure, obviously, in these particular cases, we were able to call some licensed, bonded people that had done the work and get them out there. But those type of things show up when you get rainstorms like that really quick. So you want to keep an eye out on that. We always like to start off with our crazy celebrity property story. And keeping in light with the presidential theme, last week I had reported on a purchase that the Clintons had made, kind of expanding their Upper New York estate. Well, if you want to go back a little bit further, it's always interesting to look at the histories of these people. Jackie O's childhood estate in the Hamptons is for sale. And I mean, this place, when you think presidential and you think presidential families, this estate is absolutely incredible. This home is on the market, bought in 2007 and completely renovated. This home on the market for just a cool $39 million. So it's pretty impressive. It's 10 bedrooms in the main house. You've got a guest house. And on top of the guest house, I'm not sure what you call this, Tom, a 2-bedroom pool house. So I guess that's on top of the guest house. That's just for, I guess, post pool. You know, you're tired, Tom. You need to, you know, take a nap.
I can't make it back all the way to the guest house.
You can't.
I'm going to stay in the pool house.
You just swing into
too many margaritas.
You swing into the pool house there. So built in 1917. So pretty crazy to look back and look at some of those homes. So that is our crazy celebrity real estate story there. We also like to report just the market continuing to stay extremely, extremely active locally. A lot of new listings coming on for this kind of last push fall market. Still a lot of properties under 250,000 ending up in multiple offer situations. We dealt with 5 different multiple offer situations just in the last 4 days. So it's still out there. You still need to be prepared and be ready for that process. So one of the things Tom and I were talking about before the show is what's going on in that situation. What do we see starting to happen out there? And what do buyers need to do to be prepared? Had a couple of conversations this week with buyers, not finding exactly what they wanted to find. How can we help them find that? Talking about with our team, taking people through that process. And what does it look like? What are some of the things that it looks like that you need to be doing and thinking about when you're getting ready to buy? And it's funny because number one, we just broke it down to very simply, what are some of the reasons that people do buy? I mean, there's a lot out there, but Tom, what are some of the ones that come to mind to you? Why do people, let's say, want or need to buy a house?
Well, I mean, the simplest is they want more space. They want to feel like they own their own home. But it's a part of the American dream is to own your own home and have your little slice of heaven to go home to.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. The number one reason that's reported by buyers of why they want to purchase a home is financial. So this many times ends up being one of the largest financial transactions that somebody will make. A lot of times people feel like if they're renting, they're throwing that money away. And there's a lot of analysis. We've done whole shows on that before. But kind of that American dream that you talked about, Tom, and that is financial. And so there's a number of factors that go into that. It's interesting because when you look at the statistics that have been put out, home equity is a huge portion of a home buyer's wealth. And I think that's where, as Tom pointed out, you come up with that American dream idea. According to the National Association of Realtors and studies that are out there, the average homeowner has a net worth, so a homeowner versus a non-homeowner has a net worth that is 41 times that of the average renter.
Wow.
I mean, that's staggering.
It's a huge number.
When you look at your net worth as you approach retirement and you're talking with your financial advisor and figuring out, just based upon that one key indicator of home ownership, gives people a net worth almost 41 times that of the average renter. So the other thing to look at out there, and you mentioned it when you were giving just off the cuff, giving your ideas, Tom, and that is family requirements, the emotional side of why you're purchasing a home. So family requirements can a number of things come up. Sometimes we get a lot of families that come into town, and they want to be in a specific school district. So a lot of times people will have kids that are, you know, right in that age of going to school, whether it's elementary, middle school, high school. And with the data that's available to consumers, we get a lot of people that come into town and they say, hey, I've done the research. I've looked at the test scores. I've talked to the principals and I want to be in the Southridge High School District, or I want to be, you know, in White Bluffs Elementary, you know, and they'll toss out a number of different schools out there. And so people, a lot of times, based upon school districts, will make that their overriding key idea for why they want to move. So does that limit people's search? Yes. But is that a driving factor in what they're doing? That's a huge, huge part of it. So that's big one. The number three that people answer when taking this survey is freedom and space. A home ownership really can be an enjoyment factor for many. Also, pets are a driving force between this. Sometimes when you look out there at the rental market and you look at what's available for housing, if people want certain pets, they're not always able to find that in the rental market, and so they look at home ownership. People like to have larger fenced yards. They like to have that privacy factor. So those are the top three factors that people are looking at when they look at home ownership. So then we took those factors and said, okay, how does that apply to finding the perfect home? How does that translate when you meet with our team and you come and you sit down with our buyer's agents and you say, okay, here's what's going on? And the number one thing that we talk to with people about that is we just encourage them at the beginning of this process to put down your must-haves. Like, we like to have three must-haves. What are the non-negotiables? And it's interesting because a lot of times people come to us and that is a situation where they're not sure how to handle that. And it's amazing, but a lot of times people don't think about that. Because it's hard. Unless you do a full custom build on the exact lot that you want, it's going to be very, very difficult. You're not going to find 100% of your wants if you have 10 factors on that list. So we like to narrow that down to three or four. And we say, okay, what's the deal? What's the bedroom count if that's important to you? People say, yeah, we absolutely we have to have three bedrooms and a den, or we have to have four bedrooms. Okay, great. Are there any other requirements? Well, yes, we've done all of our research, and we have to be in the Richland High School district. Okay, so now we've got boundary lines that you're dealing with. We've got four bedrooms that we have to find, and then the third one could be a three-car garage. Two cars is not big enough. Three-car garage is what we're after. So we'll take all of that information, and we'll say, okay, now we can start to figure out what's going to be the best house for you. And so we're referring back to that list constantly, looking at, does this meet all three of the must-haves? And then even other times, we'll go down and put down two or three others like-tos. And if we had that on top of everything else, it would be fantastic. So what this does, this allows people to focus. And then now what it does is it allows us to target an area that you're after. What happens next is a big research project. You start to see, what are the home values in that neighborhood? What are the price that I can look at paying for that criteria? And then how do we find the best possible deal within those parameters? So that's really what we like to have happen at our first consultation. Now, the biggest piece of that I've left out, and I've left it out for after the break. Because once we have that criteria and we know what we're after, it comes down to budget. And it comes down to not breaking that budget and then making sure that you're pre-approved and ready to go within that budget. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to turn this over to Tom Coyne at Umpqua. We're going to talk about, now that we have our criteria, what's Tom going to do to get us the right number so that financially we meet those goals and you don't make any mistakes along the way.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about the buying process, what you need to be doing to get ready to purchase. We still have had these incredible low interest rates. Inventory's been lower, but we're steadily. We talked to the Home Builders Association a couple of weeks ago. There's some lots coming online. Permits are up. We're desperately trying to regain control of that inventory, and the builders are putting some great products coming online in some of these areas. And so it really is a unique perspective. We didn't think we would be in this spot with the low interest rates still this time of year, a crazy hot market, and looking at, what do I need to be doing to be prepared to buy? We talked about some of the tips before the break, but the biggest one of that is having the lending and the financing side lined up ahead of time. Number of times, 3-4 times this week, I heard people say, I didn't expect that, or I didn't think that was going to happen on the lending side. So I said to Tom, I said, you know, it's crazy. I looked back, and I think we had talked about this 3 or 4 months ago, but I said, as we come into a season where there's still a lot of people trying to buy, walk me through setting that budget with your clients and what's happening on your end of things at Umpqua, Tom.
You know, Lance, I love this topic because it really sets the right expectations for people when they come in to buy a house. People say to me all the time, you know, Tom, why does it take 4 or 5 weeks to close a loan? There are so many different moving parts and so many steps, so many different parties in a transaction, and we have to bring them all together in that defined time period and bring them together generally in order so that as soon as 4 weeks or 5 weeks comes up, we're ready to hit that closing date. But really the first step and first part of the process when talking financing is to come in and get pre-approved. Now, Lance, you talked about it right before the break. It's identifying a budget. One of the very first questions I have for a client when they come in and sit down and meet with me is, what do you want your monthly payment to be? Now, I start with that because I don't want to ask, how much are you thinking you want to spend? Because they've probably run some online calculators. They've probably left off property taxes, probably didn't think about adding mortgage insurance, may or may not know about PMI or mortgage insurance. So we try to work backwards a little bit and say, okay, I want a $1,500 payment. We then see their credit score because they've already applied online, and we know what kind of down payment they're wanting to make. And so then we kind of work backwards to find out what sales price should they be looking at. If someone wants a house payment of $1,200, they don't want to be looking at a sales price where the house payment is going to be $1,500, because they're going to like that house more than the $1,200 payment house every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we definitely encourage our clients a lot of times to go see you first, Tom, and get that number. Because if we look at three houses that are $225,000 and you run the numbers and say your purchase price should be at $190,000, guess what's going to happen? I'm never going to show them a house again that is $190,000, but as nice as the ones that are $225,000.
Right.
That's just part of the process. So having that number ahead of time, yeah, is a good expectation.
Yeah, lining up those expectations, very, very, very important. So after that initial meeting, we've got you pre-approved. We have identified what target price range should you be shopping for, what different things to expect in the process, how much you should be saving up for. You then go out and find a home. You have your pre-approval letter, more important maybe than ever right now because the market is still very competitive and sellers aren't entertaining an offer generally without an approval letter. Lance can back me up on that. So you need to make sure you have your approval letter in hand and then go out shopping for a house. Then once you're under contract with Lance's team, you write an offer on a house, the seller accepts it, you have a fully signed around purchase and sale agreement, we'll then set the client up to come back in and look to lock an interest rate in. Now, I look to lock the rate as fast as we possibly can. And this is more true than ever in the last year or so because rates have been really flat. There hasn't been much movement. They've just been low, low, low. Now, everybody knows that next month we got an election coming up and I don't know what's going to happen with rates. I'm interested to see, kind of curious. So if let's say you went under contract last week on a new construction and that house isn't done till February, you should still be looking at an extended rate lock. Do not wait till January and roll the dice and see what those rates are going to be. So if you want to talk extended locks, let me know. But you lock your interest rate in, we sign your disclosures. That's the start of our processing of the loan. At that same time, we're going to be setting up title and escrow. We're going to order the appraisal. Maybe we need verifications of employment for your employer based off the loan program, or we need to order bank statements, any sort of Social Security verifications, IRS transcripts, insurance binders, flood certifications. There's a number of things that we have to order to get your loan started. That file then goes to my processing team. They're going to review it. At that same time, all the rest of these things that we've ordered have been trickling in, and that file gets sent over to our underwriting team. The underwriter's job is to make sure we're meeting all of the agency guidelines to ensure that we have an insurable loan. When you go to a bank, it's very, very rare that you're getting the bank's money. You're getting your money from the secondary market, even if you're making your payments to the bank. So for a loan to be sold on the secondary market, you have to meet agency guidelines. So banks are really, really strict on ensuring that every guideline is met. Otherwise, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, they can come back and say, all right, you didn't meet these guidelines. You're going to have to buy this one back. Then the bank has to buy that back and keep that loan on the books. It's the last thing any bank wants to do. So after we clear underwriting, we meet all those guidelines. That's the point where we can send docs out. You go in and sign all your paperwork. Escrow helps coordinate the exchange of money from us to the seller, to the seller's current lender. And then they transfer title over to the new buyer. So I think I just rattled off 10 or 12 different people and just this piece of the transaction. We haven't even talked inspection or real estate agents. There's just so many people involved. So really important to get your pre-approval out of the way as quick as you can. We'll go through all this process, how it affects you, and it really gives you the best idea of what to expect moving forward.
Yeah, and that's really the thing that happens a lot of times. I saw a couple different people this last week bring offers on properties. They might have been qualified, but there was no way to prove that. They didn't have those pre-approval letters. They were in a multiple offer situation. They're like, this house is awesome. And we're like, yeah, it's been waiting for it to hit the market. It hit the market. There were three to four offers. The sellers, when they're looking at three offers, and they have the one offer without a pre-approval, they don't even want to look at that offer. They have no indication of if that is a valid offer or not because they haven't gone through the paces. And in this market, too, I've seen situations where people put in an offer and the sellers say, yeah, we'll take a look at it and consider it when we have a pre-approval letter.
Mm-hmm.
During the 2 days or it's taking the clients or the buyers to get that, another offer comes in and they're willing to look at that offer right away because it's solid. They've been through the motions. So in this market, it's a huge, huge deal, even in some of the upper price ranges, to have that ready to go. And sometimes even in the upper price ranges, that's when people start to feel like it's less necessary because in their mind, oh, yeah, 100% we're qualified. Obviously, you know, we're in a mm-hmm. great position. We have a lot of equity. Still need to have that rooted out to prove to the buyers that you're making that offer. And I always say when you're a buyer making that offer, you're trying to prove to the seller that you're the best qualified buyer. They're not in front of you. They're not having a discussion with you. They don't know you personally. They don't know where you work. They don't know that you've saved forever. So you're trying to provide the best evidence that you are the number one buyer for that property. And so you've got to look at it almost like if you're in a court of law and you're like, we're trying to prove our case. We're trying to prove that I am the best buyer. I'm the best fighter in this ring. And to be able to win the bid on your mm-hmm. house. So it's very competitive like that. We have a lot of tricks and preparation and stuff that our buyer's agents, we train on, we talk about it all the time so that they're ready to best serve our buyers when it comes to putting that offer in.
Well, and maybe you're one of those people out there that, oh, I don't want to go through the approval process. I don't have time. I can't get off of work until 8 p.m. We can do everything online. So assuming that you have the ability to scan or fax your income and asset documentation over to me, you can fill out your application on my website, TomCoyneHomeLoans.com. Probably takes you 5-10 minutes. And most of the time, we'll get approval letters out the same day we receive income and asset documentation.
Absolutely. That's fantastic, Tom. Well, thanks for making that available to our clients and working on that. Okay, a couple other tips that we were talking about in that home buying process. And one of the things we talked about before the break, you have your list of your must-haves. You've narrowed that down. You found an area that you want. One of the things we utilize now is our website and our search tools. We now can find an area to really zero in on. One of the things that we can do is we can utilize automatic updates for you. In this market that's moving quickly, that can be a huge deal. We can take and we can draw around your target area. As soon as a new listing hits the market, hits our system, you'll be notified of that listing.
Lance, I love that. You can literally draw any sort of shape you want, and when a house shows up in there, it'll pop up.
It's fantastic. You get an email. A lot of times our clients will get that email if I'm, you know, at the radio show or on the air and I can't check my phone, just like this morning. I could have had 2 or 3 or 4 clients get automatic updates. When we get out of the show, sometimes I'll leave and there'll be a call and one of my buyer's agents will call me and be like, oh yeah, I'm showing a house. It just got inputted into the system this morning. We're going to get over there before anybody else does. And so, yeah, it's a great way to kind of have a head start for buyers out there that are looking. The second thing that I wrote down in this market is just be ready to purchase. And so what that is that's have gone through the pre-approval, that's having the automatic updates, that's knowing what's going on in the market so that you have that knowledge and you feel like you can move on that property. Because, like we said, in this market, that's still a thing that we're dealing with is those multiple offers. So you're going to have to be educated prior to seeing that home so that you know you're ready to write the offer on that house. And that can make a huge, huge difference. Great new inventory coming on the market. I'm going to wrap up here with our pick 3. I always like to get some new inventory out there for people that are looking. Brand new to us, just in the last couple days, 5304 Hornby Lane in Pasco. This is a move-in ready, 3-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, great West Pasco location, just about 1,100 square feet, big living room, vaulted ceilings, opens up to the kitchen, and we've got tile flooring in there. These are coming on the market, fully fenced backyard, and this home just hit the market at $165,000. So it's just one of those great West Pasco entry-level homes. Fantastic, fantastic new listing. Pick number two, 1142 in Henry. This is Henry Street. This is also in Pasco. This is an all-brick duplex setup. Larger unit, has a big living room and a gas fireplace, a formal dining room, kitchen with extra storage, large bathroom with bedroom with a full bathroom. You've got a fully fenced private backyard and a large covered patio. You've got another unit with a living area, its own kitchen, space for stackable washer and dryer, bedroom and a full bathroom there. Newer roof on this property, and that's coming in at $170,000. So great, great potential investment opportunity. Set up really well so you could live in one side, rent out the other. Maybe you have a mother-in-law situation that you're looking for to have somebody living there. Fantastic property. And then pick number three, 311 North Underwood. This is in Kennewick, just right down from the Kennewick Country Club golf course. Three bedroom, two bath Rambler, huge living room with big wood fireplace, French doors to your oversized family room, tons of storage. You've got a great kitchen, lots of counter space, breakfast bar, dining area, huge, huge master suite with its private bathroom. New carpet, also another fully fenced backyard, and then the backyard opens up into open space. So this is a very, very private type setting right by the Tri-City Country Club, and that's priced at $199,900. So a lot of house for the money there. A lot of great new inventory on the market. If you're interested in going through this process we talked about, getting ready to buy, feel free to go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'll get it right over to you. Tom, to get pre-qualified before rates start moving up in the other direction, what's that website again they can go to?
You can apply online anytime, TomCoyneHomeLoans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.